fine. In fact, they turned off my Wi-Fi and they gave me a pay-as-you-go flip phone that as a way to talk to six, basically 5.8 million people. And so that's kind of what I walked into. They
And your
were going to
office
use.
was a corner office with a lot of windows?
Oh my gosh. I mean, do you think, Christy? No. They put me very clearly in the basement, Kristen. Like they were like, we don't want to see this person. We don't want to hear from her. Like the more we can bury her, the better. Which I also like to call it the garden level is where we were. But
Depending on who you're talking to.
correct, correct. No, like I think for me, it's like they're going to do whatever they can to make sure that we're not successful, but I was elected to do something about it. And so I wasn't going to let that stop me. And so one of the first things I actually did when I got into office was there was a gag order on climate change investments. So we could not, as an office, help invest in some renewable energy projects for communities. So we overturned that gag order on climate change and then worked with communities across the state and helped them then use our trust fund to do that, as an example. Or I actually met frequently with the 72 county treasurers. What a concept, Kristen. Like, let's reach out to our local counterparts
Whoa.
and see how we can like develop a relationship. And one of the things that we identified is that they have an opportunity to help homeowners. And so we created a homeownership task force and created basically a foreclosure prevention fund, because one of the reasons folks face foreclosure is because of property taxes. They can't pay them. And we know that's a real issue here in Wisconsin. We have some of the highest property taxes in the entire country. And what these county treasurers were able to do is say, oh, we see that they're getting in trouble. We can help provide services to get them out of that situation and protect their homes. And so I'm really proud that we created this fund to help homeowners, to even under my leadership, one of the things is I oversaw $1.6 billion trust fund, and the distributions went to our public schools. And Kristen, as you know, our schools are continuing to be asked to do more with less. And by investing in Wisconsin and just being smart, like updating our investment policy, we grew our distribution by 103%, which is a lot. So this is like where my brain comes from when people tell me that Democrats aren't fiscally responsible or all they want to do is spend, spend, spend. I'm like, actually, we just want to deliver, deliver, deliver in the best, most effective way possible. And I think this is just one of the many examples in which we've done that.
Too. Keeping people in their homes, helping
Right.
our public schools, things that Wisconsinites care deeply about. And this is just the tip of the iceberg for you, Sarah, because when you were done being treasurer, you then were appointed as Secretary of State, the office you hold now. And that office needed a little refurbishing, didn't
Well, that was actually very funny too, Kristen, because I put in level, as I like to say. I'm just a fixer-upper girl, I guess. But
You're the Bob Vila of Wisconsin
yeah,
politics.
exactly. What constitutional office needs help next? I'm here for it. But it was the same thing. Like there were boxes of records that had not been digitized or organized. They were still using a seal from 1881 to, notify and notarize these documents. And they were still like managing everything on this kind of ancient Microsoft spreadsheet. And our wait times for important services, like if you are adopting a child overseas or wanting to expand your cheese business, like folks were waiting weeks to do that. And so, what we were able to do, and this was because I want to be clear that under the leadership of Robin Voss and Scott Walker, when Act 10 happened, Hartley, are you going to
Hi,
say hi to Kristen?
Hi, Kristen.
Hardly. Guest appearance by Hartley.
I know. Hartley, are you gonna Yeah. Well, I'm actually on a podcast right now, Hartley. I know it's summer fun, but
you hey, need buddy, to be- what do you want people to know about your mom? Is she pretty cool? Yeah. Should they vote for her? Do you think?
Do you wanna tell people at home why they should vote for your mom?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why?
Why?
Well, you tell me.
you tell me.
I tell you. Okay.
Is it good snacks? Does she make good snacks?
Yeah. Do I make good snacks? Good breakfast. Egg in a basket. Am I a nice cat mom? Okay.
Okay. From one boy mom to another, I'm feeling this. I love this.
It's never a dull moment.
Sorry, stop.
Okay, well, buddy, you and I are going to go, and literally I told you, at like 5:30, we are going to go on a bike ride. And we're going to get dinner.
And we're going to bonk our head.
Oh, okay. We will bonk the ball and have some fun. Okay, high five.
See you later, dude.
I love you, buddy.
Love you.
Okay.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. Okay. Okay. I'll get it later. Thank you. Thank you for sharing all my stuff with me. Okay. Wow.
Mommy, is it a Pro or Max?
I don't know if it's a Pro phone or Max. Why don't you go ask Daddy?
It looks like a Max.
Oh, okay. Why don't you shut my door? Thank you. I don't think he has joined anybody else's podcast, Kristen. So you are very lucky for that excellent special appearance.
We've got the boy mom energy going on right now. And I love it.
Literally, because you know, it's summer break. He's a 6-year-old. And so I'm like, buddy, I'm going to go upstairs and I'm going to be on a podcast. So you just need to give me 30 minutes and then we'll go on our bike ride. We're going to get dinner. It's going to be great. And needless to say, that lasted 15 minutes.
So. Of course. He needed something.
Yep. Apparently. Apparently he needed to show me his cookie. So glad.
For the record, one of my boys, who is a grown up, is having internet problems. And he wants to like change something that is something I do not understand because I have just abdicated. I'm like my parents trying to program the VCR back in the 80s. Like I can't do any of that. So all day long, I've said to him, the only time I need Wi-Fi is at this time. And literally minutes before we went live, Wi-Fi was not up. He's up all night. He's up not in the morning. Like he could have done this any other time when I was not. No, it had to be right. Like boys just
procrastinate a little bit. You know, they take their time.
Yeah. They love their moms. They do it for attention, I think.
I think he's like, cool. Oh, there's somebody on? Great. I'm going to talk to them. Like,
all right. I think we were in the middle of you explaining.
Oh, so when when I walked into my basement office as Secretary of State, where I put on my Bob Vila hat on again, to your point.
Yes.
I just remember like walking in to be like, I've been here before. Buckle up. And. Mm-hmm. I think the story of how that office got there is a bit different. So just to kind of jog people's memory is there was that thing called Act 10. You might have heard of it.
Mm-hmm. I think I was at the Capitol with my 6-year-old son.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, where, as many people remember in our state, Scott Walker took away workers' rights. And one of the things that helped kind of prolong the ability for those Democratic senators to go to Illinois, is the Secretary of State has to validate the bill. So it countersigns the bill for it to become law. And Doug La Follette refused to countersign the bill. Giving them extra days to kind of organize. And so when all of that happened and played out, the next budget cycle, they cut his staff to basically one, relocated him from across the street. He had an office because we are, I think, the second most visited office in the Capitol beside the visitor center.
Oh, wow.
For the customer services that we provide, to a basement, very hard accessible office. And so it was a very deliberate attack to make him incredibly un successful. And so when I came on board in partnership with the governor, I was like, we've got to do everything that we can. So we were able to modernize the office, build it to the 21st century. So now in Green Bay, you don't have to drive to get services in my office. You actually can do these things online, making them accessible for everybody. To redoing our records portal, because we don't want government to be in a black box. We want it to be transparent and accountable for the people. And so created a state-of-the-art records portal, and just tried to do everything we could to be innovative, to be just good, you know, like deliver good government. And I think, Kristen, like to me, this is something that's not, you know, the sexy newsworthy things that get the attention, but that's not what Wisconsinites want. I think Wisconsinites want, they want you to do your job. They want you to make it as easy for them as possible. And I'm really proud to say, like, that's what we were able to do.
I think Wisconsinites want stable, boring government.
Yeah, right. And we deliver that. We deliver that in a cost-effective way, in a very cost-effective way. Because I think this is like, Kristen, to your point, this is the other wild thing. So I actually give money back to the legislature because I make more money than they allow me to keep to even continue to modernize the office. And so it's really, I think quite frankly, it's pretty broken, I think, how when we look at how services are getting the, you know, the attention that they need to best deliver for the people of Wisconsin often. So. Mm-hmm.
I don't think their goals were to deliver for the people of Wisconsin. I think it was a power grab, and that left everything else behind. And now this is the collateral damage over the last couple of years that you've been having to deal with.
Right, right, yeah. Right. So anybody, you're always welcome to come and visit me in the garden. in the basement. But no, you can visit us online and get those almost exact same services. So
perfect. Okay, so wait, we talked about treasurer.
Yes.
Secretary of State. Everybody thought you were going to run for governor, Sarah, but here you are running for lieutenant governor. Why?
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, it was the best way that I believed I could serve. I mean, serving the people of Wisconsin, the state that has raised me, my parents, my grandparents, my sisters, like, I just think it has been an incredible honor. And so when I found out that Governor Evers was retiring, it just kind of put this whole new thought process for me. And what kept coming up is I'm a team player. You know, I play team sports, Kristen. I do what I can to, you know, build relationships with legislators, with, you know, nonprofit organizations, because I really truly believe in addition rather than subtraction. I think we're better when we're all better. You know, rising tides raises all boats. And kind of that theme, I just felt that the lieutenant governor was the best role for me and the way that I can serve the state that has like given me and my family so much.
And that begs the question, because we've got a crowded field of really wonderful, experienced gubernatorial candidates, and it's starting to shake up a little bit. You know, there were seven for a long time. Missy Hughes just dropped out recently. Right. As you look at the field, I know you're not going to give me your pick, but as you look at this field, what do you see and what are the qualities you're looking for in a governing partner?
Yeah, well, let's first, can I just address this, something that I hear over and over again that I want to just give my perspective on? It's like, oh, Sarah, it's such a big field. This is just, oh, such a downer. And I actually think it's a real positive. And here's a few reasons. I mean, first, I think it's great to have choice. Like we are democracy and choice is a good thing. But here's the other few things is that Tom Tiffany is one person that can only show up in one place. Mm-hmm. We are now seeing these six candidates and they are going everywhere, whether it's like Osseo, Door County, Bayfield, Ashland, places that often don't get a gubernatorial candidate. Our candidates are covering seven times as much ground as one Tom Tiffany. And I think that is a real win in helping us get our message. I think it's also a win because the Republicans don't know who to hit because they don't know who's going to come out. And so they're just kind of throwing, lobbing things to try to like see what sticks because they don't actually know what that's going to look like until August 12th. So I do think this is a real positive. But going into what I think makes a good gubernatorial candidate is, to me, it goes kind of back to that theory that I think we best govern when we govern by addition, not subtraction. Mm-hmm. And how are we all best working together? And that is working, I think, effectively with the legislature. It's working effectively with local government. It's working effectively with nonprofit organizations, because I think too often what we see from elected officials is they don't do enough listening. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of talking.
Yeah.
And I think how we become better governing partners is when we listen and build effective coalitions that turn out the best policies for the people of Wisconsin. And so for me, I think that is what I think is one of the most important characteristics of a governor, is that they, you know, really subscribe to that philosophy that, you know, rising tides raises all boats, and best helps us meet our motto in Wisconsin of the ability to move the state forward.
Forward, baby.
Yeah.
I agree with you. It is very exciting to me to see not only this big group of candidates, but this big, experienced, diverse group of candidates. And it's not just the gubernatorial race. We're seeing it in many other places that we weren't expecting it. Every one of the congressional districts that are held by Republicans have numerous Democrats running. I think there are 8 people running in the first. There are 3 running in the 8th. We haven't had a primary in the 8th congressional district in 2 decades. Yeah. So the enthusiasm is high, which is really heartening to me. And it makes me think about, I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but it does make me think about, we could have a Democratic trifecta come November. And I think that we've got the power to create this. So what are we going to do with it? Because you're going to be there in the passenger seat. What does that mean to you?
Well, and can I just add the cherry on top to your enthusiasm statement?
Yes.
I think that we are seeing this in turnout in many ways. When you look at, I mean, we had a really successful Democratic convention just 2 weeks ago to 15 incumbent Republican members of the legislature, Kristen, are not running.
Including all the leaders, except one.
Yes. I mean, you imagine, like, this is a generational opportunity, because we are have an opportunity to fill 15 slots because the incumbent is not running again. Mm-hmm. And to your point, the leader of the assembly and the leader of the Senate has said no more.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
what does that tell you?
The writing is on the wall. And that, I mean, what, and look, like, when they can't even expand something like expanding Badger Care, or instead they prioritize $2 billion tax breaks to some of the largest data center corporations in the entire world. I mean, like, their actions speak louder than words, and they're not serving the people of Wisconsin. And Wisconsinites are noticing. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're like, what are you doing to me, like, for me to make my life better? And the answer is not a thing, you know? Yeah. So, yes. So I just want to reiterate the enthusiasm, because I think that further just really shows that this ability to achieve the trifecta, which we could flip the legislature, which I like to say flipping the legislature is giving us an ability to truly serve as a check on the Trump administration, because we are going to continue to see awful things coming down from the Trump administration, and knowing that we would have a legislature that we could partner with in addition to in the governor and lieutenant governor's office, to me is really important to continuing to protect and advocate for Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's necessary, because everything's in the states now. So the states have to be powerful. And this is our opportunity for Wisconsin to be that powerful state. So what do you envision? I mean, you have to be planning, you know, like, you have to plan for all contingencies, but you have to be planning for, what do we do when we hit the ground in January? What do you want to see?
Well, I think what I hear is people want to make life more affordable. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's a lot of different things. It's everything from, how are we expanding quality, affordable healthcare? I mean, I look in my hometown of the Chippewa Valley, and Kristen, you know this. I mean, 2 hospitals closed.
Yeah, totally closed.
Totally closed. I mean, my mom had an emergency maybe 6 months ago where they brought her to a parking garage because there was no room in the ER. I mean, this is what they are facing in the Chippewa Valley. A family of four there was sharing with me that their premium went from $700 a month, Kristen, to $2,700 a month. Like, I mean,
and that's their premium. That doesn't even pay for their actual health care, their deductible, none of it.
Right. And so you think about it, we expand Badger Care. That's going to give access to thousands of more Wisconsinites to have quality, affordable health care. And oh, by the way, we're able to use our government purchasing power to make it more affordable for people. So I think that is something that's like top of mind. I think, look, we also have to think of ways we're making life more affordable and advocating for our public schools. When our public schools continue to be underfunded, and we are asking them to do more with less. And what really I think I always think about is there's ways that we can generate revenue to make this stuff happen. I mean, whether it is from legalizing marijuana, right now we are giving our neighboring states about $42 million a year, Kristen.
Wow.
That we could be staying here in Wisconsin, to closing the dark store loophole, which basically for your listeners, it's a tax scheme that allows the Walmarts and Menards and Targets of the world to not pay property taxes at your expense, so you make up for it. We saw in Michigan, they closed the dark store loophole, which saved the state billions of dollars. And we can then put that to affordable childcare. I mean, I know that that as a mom has been an issue I continue to hear over and over again, because childcare now costs more than tuition at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
If you can even find a provider, which if you live in a rural area, so many of those providers are closing down and so many more are about to close down. This is a true crisis for parents.
Right, right. Yeah. And so if you can't have a place to send your kids, you can't work.
Right.
And so this isn't just like a nice to have thing for families. I mean, childcare is a must have for successful economies. It's just that simple. Just like we need good roads and bridges and infrastructure, we also need to have an effective childcare system to make our economy successful as well.
Yeah, we sure do. All right, I know it's time to go on your bike ride and go get dinner. But before I let you
ran out of time already, Kristen. I'm like, how did this go by so quickly? I mean, this was way too much. This was so much fun. Much fun.
I so appreciate you. And I'm very, very excited about the future with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Godlewski. Thank you for taking the time. Please also tell the listeners where they can find you.
Yes. I mean, for more information about me and my campaign, you can visit Sarah with an H. I know there's a few Sarahs in the mix. So it's Sarah for Wisconsin, all spelled out, sarahforwisconsin.com.
Sarah with an H for Wisconsin.com. Thank you, my friend. If you found this conversation valuable, please like, subscribe, leave a comment, hit the bell. It genuinely does help people find us. As I said, you can find Sarah with an H for Wisconsin.com, and you can find me on Substack and everywhere else at Dr. Kristen Lierley. We'll see you next time.